This is Alex Kraner.
This is Dave Collum.
This is Bruce Party.
Hi, this is Jeremy McKenzie, the Raging Dissident.
Hello, this is Maxime Bernier.
This is Danny Bulford.
This is Chuck Prodnick.
This is Vance Crowe, and you're listening to the Sean Newman Podcast.
Welcome to the podcast, folks. Happy Monday. How's everybody doing today? Okay, you might notice something a little different in the show notes. Maybe you're not paying that close attention. Maybe you are. I don't know. I'm in a good mood. Maybe you can tell. Here, it's no longer call or email gram. It's text or email gram. There's a new number in there to text. They'd like to try that out. I like to think you were blowing up his phone so much that they're like, oh man, we better switch to something like texting. These people are pretty passionate about the SMP. That's what I like to think. And I hope you're having a little bit of fun on a Monday morning as well. When we're talking about silver and gold, look no further than Silver Gold Bull. They've been on with us now for, since late part of last year into the new year, and they offer a full suite of services to help you buy, sell, and store your precious metals. They ship it discreetly, right to fully insured, right to you, fully tracked, right to you. I don't know why I keep stumbling over that. I'm in a good mood. We got to, you know, they reach out, they say, would you mind trying texting? I'm like, yeah, we could text. Yeah, I wonder how many phone calls Graham was getting. Yeah, I tell you what, when I talked to him the last time, he said, you got some passionate listeners. I'm like, I do. They are fantastic. Thank you all. And text away. Feel like texting, feel like emailing. Man, anytime I get a phone call like that, I'm like, I got nothing but time for all of you. And so you know what Silver Gold Bull and Bow Valley Credit Union, gee, that escaped me for a second. They are giving away two tickets. I mentioned it last Friday, okay? We're giving away two tickets to the Sean Newman Podcast, SMP Presents Cornerstone Forum. So they got two tickets. We're going to draw it Friday. All you got to do is text me, not Graham. Text me, which you also find in the show notes, your name, where you're listening from, so location, and at Cornerstone Forum. You can toss that in there as well. You probably don't need to, but at least then it reminds me of what the text is coming through. We got people chiming in from across Alberta into Manitoba, Saskatchewan. So, hey, you want to get there? Come on down. I'm having some fun today. And there's only, I think it's 41 tickets left. If my math, well, as I record this, it was only 41. We'll have some days in between, so it's probably less than that. It's been a fun few days. They've been flying off the shelves, been getting texts from all over the place. If you haven't got yours yet, what are you waiting for? Telling you, Stone, Thorup, Prodnick, Sims, Luongo, Craner, Martin Armstrong, Virtual, Sean Newman, 222 minutes. Nah, I mean, nobody's coming to see twos, are they? I'm having a good day. Calrock, your trusted partners in surplus oil field equipment, leading supplier of new, used, and reconditioned oil field production equipment in Canada. But that's not all. Tank fabrication, new and refurbished fluid storage tanks, trucking, pump jacks, and demolition. Calrock.ca for everything. Profit River. Go back to episode 557. You'll hear all about Profit River, Clay Smiley, and his journey to it. He is a beauty. They specialize in importing firearms from the United States of America. If you're like, I don't know, I don't do anything with firearms. Maybe you got a loved one. Maybe they love something to do with that. They ship all across Canada. They got gift cards. Go take a look. ProfitRiver.com. They are the major retailer of firearms, optics, and accessories serving all of Canada. Whew. Monday never felt so good, boys and girls. I'm excited. I'm very excited. I want to remind everybody, Substack April 1st. The paywall goes up. We've been talking a lot about this Discord thing, so I haven't released it to everybody yet, but as soon as the paywall goes up, there's going to be some chatter behind the paywall about Discord. If you're wanting to interact more with the community and you're like, oh, gee, that sounds interesting, hey, we're trying to have some fun here. And we want you to come experience the fun too. We want to have some chit chat going on. We want to give you some exclusive content. We're probably going to release a couple of extra tickets behind that paywall for the Cornerstone Forum, because why not? And finally, on Sunday, April 28th, we're going to have the Cowboy Preacher, who also is going to be there on April 27th. He's going to be there, as is Leighton Gray. Leighton Gray is going to be in attendance, as are the guys from Silver Gold Bull, as are the guys from Bow Valley Credit Union. It's going to be a fun little day. Now, April 28th. I'm getting sidetracked here, folks. April 28th, I got the Cowboy Preacher. I got Tanner in a Day. And Cam Milliken. Everybody keeps going, I don't know who this Cam Milliken is. If you showed up to the Edmonton show, he did Grace at the start of it. He's been a preacher, or former preacher, I should say, for I think it's 30 years. I think it was 30 years out in Vancouver. Regardless, I'm rather terrified, and all terrified, I mean, in nervously, like nervous energy, you know, like when you've never done something before. This entire weekend, a full long, I was just at the casino. I just signed the paperwork, and I'm like, oh, they're like, oh, how are you feeling? I'm like, well, I've never done a full day thing. So until it's done, and I go, oh, I should have done this different, and you know, you can never really know. Sunday is a complete walk into the abyss. It's going to be somewhere in Lloydminster. It's either probably going to be the Kinsman Hall. I said it was going to be the Kinsman Hall, and I'm just working on one other location because I want to make sure I get that right. Regardless, it's going to be in Lloydminster. It's going to be Sunday morning, 9 a.m., Tanner in a Day, the Cowboy Preacher, Cam Milliken, the Bible, Jesus, Cornerstone, and we're going to see what flies. We're going to have a little bit of fun. And that's what I got for you today. I'm having a great day. I hope you're having a great day. I don't care what the world throws at us. It's not going to stop me today. I'm having a great day. So let's get on to that tail of the tape, shall we? He's an internist, cardiologist, epidemiologist, holding degrees from Baylor University, University of Texas Southwestern Medical School, University of Michigan, and Southern Methodist University. Of course, I'm talking about Dr. Peter McCullough. So buckle up. Here we go. Welcome to the podcast. I'm joined today by Dr. Peter McCullough. So, sir, thanks for hopping on.
Man, it's so great to be on the SNP. I'm hoping the snow is melted up there in Canada. That's always the first thing we talk about. I know you're it looks like you're in your bunker down there. It's probably like 6 feet of snow outside. How are you holding up there?
I tell you what, we've had a pretty nice little winter overall. It's pretty, you know, I don't know. It was -8 here today. So, you know, the snow's almost gone. It's snowing outside as me and you were speaking right now, but by next week we're back in the pluses. So I don't know. I got nothing to complain about. Like you're up here, this is beautiful.
You're back in the pluses. I could have running down here in Texas with no shirt yesterday. It was beautiful, and I've been kind of picking up the mileage. Now, what do the Canadians think about Las Vegas winning a Stanley Cup?
Oh, we don't want to talk about that. I was just going to say the Dallas Stars are looking pretty good. The Edmonton Oilers are looking pretty good. So we'll see what the two teams can do this year. You know, it's been a while. I was like, when was the last time I had Peter on? And it's well over a year. Okay.
Is it?
Yes. Wow. We're going to be episode 607. And the last time I had you on was episode 344. Think about that for a second, folks. That's some times. And, you know, it's a tweet. It's funny. Sometimes I see things come through the Twitter feed, and other times I never see your name ever. And I always find that so random, you know, like with the different levels of censorship and everything else. But here's what got my attention. I'm like, huh, I should have Peter on to talk about this. And it was something you retweeted. It said the CDC releases paper on myocarditis after COVID vaccination, and every word is redacted. 148 pages, the entire thing is redacted. What good does a study do if there's nothing there? And then it had you quoted in there as well as saying we're seeing a colossal consumer product safety debacle. Pfizer recorded 1,223 deaths with their product within 90 days of release. People were calling Pfizer in desperation, watching their family members die after taking the vaccine. Peter, I'm just like, if there's going to be a guy to give me some information on what this was about, I'm like, they're still redacting everything?
You can't make this up. I mean, you know, when the CDC is in the business of medical communications, they have their own journal, the MMWR. It's lightly peer-reviewed, but the CDC teams that they put together, they broadly publish across, you know, a whole range of journals. But when they have an internal publication, they haven't come out, and there's a request for our government agency, it works for us, largely the CDC works for me, it works for doctors like me, to produce the manuscript, and they redact every single word. I mean, at this point, there is a wholesale loss of trust in the CDC. What do they have to hide in every word of this manuscript being redacted? It was on vaccine myocarditis. It's obvious the CDC had a lot to hide. The FDA told us in June of 2021, the COVID vaccines cause myocarditis or heart inflammation. We knew before COVID, if there's heart inflammation, if athletes work out and exert themselves, they can have a cardiac arrest. That's the reason why patients with myocarditis before the pandemic, we never let them exercise until we treat the myocarditis. The FDA put out this warning. And then in August of 2021, Sean, you know what happened? All the sports leagues mandated vaccination, including the NFL.
Yeah, it's, we sit here in 2024, and at times I feel like, you know, since we last chatted, I'm like, okay, we're well past all this stuff. But then, of course, you know, being sitting here in Alberta, I thought, you know what, let's just bring up Alberta Health Services because, you know, I know it's sitting there and I just need to see it for my eyes. So, Peter, one quick Google, go to AHS. Says influenza immunization is the best way to protect yourself and the people around you against influenza. COVID-19 immunization is also available. It's safe to receive both the COVID-19 influenza and influenza vaccine at the same time. What say you, Peter? Would you be, with all the information out right now, the amount of, like, people that have been harmed by this, I assume Alberta isn't just the random province that still has it as like, it's safe and effective. Please keep doing this. I assume that isn't a one-off.
No, in fact, there's a paper that's just out today, I believe in JAMA or New England Journal of Medicine, and I provided commentary on it for the Children's Health Defense. But listen to this. They looked at Medicare beneficiaries in the United States who took the COVID shot and the influenza shot at the same time. And they looked at a specific outcome, which was stroke, both ischemic and hemorrhagic stroke, within 90 days. It turned out there was 11,000 strokes. And what the authors are trying to say is, well, the strokes are really due to the influenza shot and not the COVID shot. And what I say is that, listen, when you're healthy enough to go get a vaccine, you better not be having a stroke in the next 3 months. 11,000 strokes is a huge number. That's a huge burden on Medicare recipients. There should be an immediate pause on both the flu vaccine and the COVID vaccine. And in no circumstances should we administer the both together. So the thinking on this is so distorted now.
You've been all over the world. Like, I mean, if you know, when I've watched your travels, you've testified in a lot of different places. You've even been up to Alberta. That was a sold out show. You've been all over. What are you seeing? What are you hearing? Is there any good news? Like, are you seeing good news? Or are you like, there's some tough things still coming down the pipe?
No, I'll tell you some good news. You know, I it was honored to be on the same stage with Teo Fleury, Stanley Cup, winner, gold medalist. We played for the Calgary Flames for many years.
We don't talk about the Calgary Flames on this show. No, I'm kidding.
Well, and then Jamie Sally, who was, again, Olympic gold medalist for Canada. Both of them, well-known Canadian athletes. I got a chance to get to know them. It was a real honor. We were on the stage. And you know what they both did? They stood up and said, listen, we're athletes. We're Olympians, gold medal winners. These vaccines weren't safe for us. We didn't take them. And this is really important. When you see public figures who, you know, they care about their bodies, they said, listen, we did not take these. That's a really important statement. And, you know, they asked me questions. It was a stage presentation. We had my book, Courage to Face COVID-19. A lot of people wanted to pick up a copy of the book. It was well received. I love it. I didn't realize Red Deer is kind of halfway between Calgary and Edmonton. And, there you are. And Alberta is, I realized, is a province that's kind of like Texas, you know, or Colorado. It's got the mountains and an independent spirit. So It was a great visit, but you're right. I've been all around the world. People clearly are waking up to something is wrong. So many people now in the world realize the vaccines are not a good idea.
And are we starting, like, are you, because you've testified in front of politicians, right? Like, are you starting to see it breach the political realm? I guess I'm curious because, you know, you go on AHS here and it's still sitting there. And, you know, I get messages quite frequently of like, they're still giving this and saying kids should get it, that pregnant women should get it, that all these people should get it. And so, you know, when you're running around and getting to testify in some of these high profile rooms, like, are politicians starting to get it? Or are you seeing like still factions sitting there straight in front of you, like, these people do not get it?
No, it's the people who show up get it. The problem is people don't show up anymore. So a lot of times politicians just won't show up to hearings. They're like, you know, I don't want to hear about it. The same thing with doctors. They won't show up. You know, we're not having grand rounds on vaccine injuries, disabilities, and deaths. The journals are trying to block all the papers. They're retracting papers that do get accepted. There's a real disconnect between public sentiment and what the public health agencies are doing. I testified in U.S. Congress January 12, 2024, and I cited a Rasmussen survey out that day, representative population-based survey. 53% of Americans think the vaccines are causing serious side effects leading to large numbers of deaths. 53%. I mean, that should tell you something. We have our CDC, which grossly overestimates the take rate on these boosters, it has it at about 15%. The reality is it's probably much lower. So, I don't know anybody right now who's taking a shot right now. Now, you know, I'm obviously in different circles, but I did a Twitter poll in the fall. And at that time, we are on, I think, about the seventh shot. And I asked a question, does anybody know anybody on the seventh shot? And I was shocked to find out that 9% of people said, yes, I know somebody, or I am that person. And then I asked the question, who are you? Who's taking seven shots? And you know what the answer was, Sean? Canadian healthcare workers.
No.
Yes.
What?
Yes. A lot of them feel forced into it. They don't like it. I saw a man today in the clinic. He had taken five shots. And, I'm seeing all these complications. So I have to report him to the CDC. So I was entering his vaccine data to the CDC. And I realized his first shot was on December 20th, 2020. So just 10 days after they came out. I mean, this guy was really chomping at the bit. He was in his 70s, but let me tell you, he was thin. He was fit. His exam was great. His heart was good and strong. This guy did need a COVID vaccine. And he ended up taking five of them. And his wife basically hauls him in and, you know, things aren't right now. And now we're starting to do cardiac and neurologic, investigations. And another woman brought in five shots. Both legs were filling up with blood clots. In fact, we got ultrasound. It was horrific what we found. And you know, in cases like this, let's say in the case of the woman with blood clots after five shots, the daughter was really concerned and brought her in to see me. But the son was pushing the shots and the son was angry that the daughter brought her in to see me. So the vaccine is dividing families.
Yeah, well, we've seen that since the very beginning, haven't we? The divide in families specifically. I guess it just blows me away. You know, I get talking about different things and I go down different trails and different discussions. And it's been a year since we chatted, you know, and you have kept the pedal down, sir. I assume at your, you know, when you're dealing with people, this has become quite a common theme. Am I wrong in that thought process?
It's true. You know, in your circles, you probably know about the case of Sean Hartman. Do you know about that case?
Yeah, he's been on the podcast, his father.
Yeah. So his father, there's another Martin family now their documentaries being made. Now, these are clear-cut cases where the vaccine caused death in young people. In this case, one Canadian, one American. I had a chance to meet the Martins when I was in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Yesterday, I was on Embolden America, Greg Bolden, good guy. He's got a show on the America Out Loud News platform, as I do. But we had Kayla Pollock on. Have you heard about the story?
Yes.
Canadian Kayla Pollock.
Yes.
Yeah. So she takes two Pfizer shots. She's okay. But then when she gets the booster, she takes Moderna and she develops brutal large segment of the spinal cord transverse myelitis, is paralyzed. And she's in a special wheelchair now, and bless her heart, she's trying to manage. The Canadians have done little to help her. The most she ever got a treatment was 5 days of steroids, nor their attempts on any other product. I went through a whole bunch of series of things to potentially try for this with her, and it was so sad to see. And I was shocked. You know, the most shocking part of the show was, do you know what the Canadian health organization offered her? AIMS. Do you know what AIMS is?
I was going to say MAID. MAID?
MAID. I'm sorry.
Yes. Medical assistance in dying. Yes, we know all about it up here, up north, Peter. We live in La La Land. You get injured by the vaccine, and it's like, well, we can give you a way to die quicker.
You know, this is a young woman. She's got a 9-year-old son, and she's in a wheelchair. She's trying to recover, and they offered her assistance in dying, essentially euthanasia. And Greg Bolden and I, we just dropped our jaws. We just couldn't believe it, that that's the answer to this, is to help her die.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of Canadians share your jaw drop when we heard that story. It's just like, we can't seriously be there. But at times, that's exactly where you are. You look around, and there's a lot to be hopeful for, I think. But at the same time, there is a lot of stories going on in our country right now that are absolutely bizarre. Mm-hmm. And that is just stacking it on. You know, you bring up different people injured by the vaccine. This was something I'd seen as well. I think it's Robert F. Kennedy Jr. who mm-hmm. Talked about it. But it was he was saying they knew that they would injure kids. And the first Pfizer trial on children was only 1,300 kids. And and I'm going to pronounce his name wrong. I apologize. Maddie DeGarry was one of the 1,300. Her and her mom testified in court. Did you see that?
Yeah, Maddie DeGarry was in the original clinical trial. She suffered a vaccine injury, and I think is on a feeding tube and paralyzed. I mean, it's just an awful situation.
But it, like, that speaks to, you know, when I think back to when you were, well, maybe that's, when did you and John Link come on? That was probably two ago. When you guys were breaking it down and saying, listen, this is really criminal. Like, this is really nefarious. To me, that story, like, she's one of the 1,300 they tested the vaccine on, and they listed it as stomach pain. Like, nothing to see here. And yet now we know that how serious that was, Peter. Like, doesn't that just, you talk about what our government's doing, like what Pfizer did in the trials is absolutely
but don't forget, you know, the Pfizer doctors weren't taking care of her directly. There was what's called site principal investigators. As I recall, she was really blown off. They were saying, listen, oh, nothing's wrong here. She just has some stomach pain. It's just like Kayla Pollock's story. She goes into a suburban Toronto hospital and she's paralyzed. I mean, she's acutely paralyzed. And their first thought is, well, you're faking it. This is a psychiatric problem. They called a psychiatric consult. Can you believe that? I mean, again, our jaws dropped. Greg Bolden and I looked at each other like, what is going on in Canada?
Well, poor leadership is definitely one part of it. You'd mentioned that nobody, how did you say it? You said people aren't showing up anymore. I wanted to follow up. I wrote it down because I was like, I better make sure I follow up with that. When, you know, you've been, once again, all over the world. In the dark days of COVID, when mandates were in full effect, lockdowns were in full effect, everything was going on, you probably wouldn't have been welcome in this country. You would have been welcome by a few, but overall, the government probably wouldn't have let you cross the border, those type of things. You're saying, if I got this correct, from there to now, the difference is politicians aren't showing up, doctors aren't showing up. When did that start happening?
You know, it looked like early on that people just started to withdraw. They pulled back. Even when I testified in the U.S. Senate November 19th, 2020, we haven't had broad audiences where people want to hear the truth. Andrew Brigden in the lower house of parliament in the U.K., the first time he gave the mortality statistics, he had hundreds of members of parliament walk out. They were basically said they didn't want to hear this.
And so they don't want to hear it because, sorry, I had to interject. They don't want to hear it because they don't believe it. They think it's conspiracy. This is all conspiracy stuff, or the truth really freaking stings and they all were complicit in it and they don't want to go down that road. Or have you, do you even have an answer to that?
I think it's worse than that. I think they all took the shots. They had their family members take the shots. They encouraged others. They were a part of these laws and mandates in this initiative. And now they're getting the bad news that A, the shots are resulting in record numbers of injury, disability, and death. And they never worked. They never stopped COVID. And at that point, people are so deep into this psychologically, professionally, socially, that they can't hear it. They literally, when you know, I bring this up to colleagues, they're like, I can't talk about this. I can't talk about this. And they literally put their hands out. You know, we usually in the United States, we call that the Heisman. You get the Heisman, Sean. People cannot talk about it because they're that deep into it. There is a psychological state that people get. They can't even recognize death of a loved one. I mean, a good example is Sean Kasten, Democratic congressman from Illinois. He's pushing the vaccine on social media, says he's going to vax. As soon as it's available, he's going to vax his kids. Well, sure enough, his kids get vaxxed, and his daughter Emily, 17, perfectly healthy girl, he finds her dead in bed. She has an autopsy. The doctor said, yeah, she dies of an arrhythmia. And then, you know, instead of saying, wow, could this be the vaccine or is it, you know, this needs investigation, you know, he gives this very distant type of statement and just says, well, we need to enjoy our family members when we have them around. You know, while they're alive, and just no remorse, no shock, no outrage. This is what's happening now. People are dying of the vaccine, and family members are not outraged. They're not. We had a death of a very prominent minister here in Dallas, and we wrote it up on our Substack. And I used to go to that church. I knew this person. And I can tell you, no investigation, no discussion, he died of natural causes. You know, he's 44, he's a runner, he's healthy. Recently, I had a woman come to me. She said, Dr. McCullough, my husband died about a year ago, and I've just finally come to grips where I need to talk to you about it. So my wife and I met her, and she said, listen, I have three daughters. And the story is my husband, who's, I believe, in his 40s, perfectly healthy. In the summer of 2021, he's essentially forced to take a vaccine. Took two Pfizers, but essentially forced to do it to go on campus to go to work. And he's kind of high up in this company. They're running this company. And this guy never sees a doctor. He has some vaccine reaction afterwards, and he's fine, but never sees a doctor. Even about, I think, you know, a few days before the event, he actually was a fire drill at work. He went up all the stairs, 10 flights of stairs, and, you know, he could do all these. He's fine. And the bottom line is he gets a viral infection, upper respiratory infection. Him and his wife, they get over it in a day or so. He has some residual hoarseness on a Saturday morning, and he's coaching in one of his daughter's basketball games, and he gets really hoarse. So he's with the daughters. The wife goes out to get her nails done, and they're just watching a movie. He's going to be coaching another game in the afternoon, and he's in the living room with the kids laying down. He says, I'm just going to, you know, take a nap. And his daughters look over, and he turns blue, and he stops breathing. And then they try to arouse him. He's basically dead. And they call the mother. The mother panics. She drives home. They call 911. They start a resuscitation, and he has massive pulmonary hemorrhage. The blood just starts flowing out of him. She says blood's everywhere on the carpet in the living room. The girls are screaming. They're trying to give a reversal agent to clot the blood, trouble getting the airway, and he dies. And the long and short is the autopsy shows massive pulmonary hemorrhage. The lungs are filled up with blood. He has some coronary disease that they don't know about, but no acutely blocked vessels. The heart looks fine. It's not myocarditis. And the medical examiner signs this out of death as natural causes. He died of natural causes, Sean. Since when does a guy your age, who's perfectly healthy, suddenly die of a pulmonary hemorrhage in front of his daughters? I mean, this is just a horror story. So Nick Hulscher, who's going to be a fellow with me at McCullough Foundation next year, Nick from University of Michigan, Nick and I wrote it up. We actually have it published now on the preprint server. And we did everything. We checked the vaccine card, and sure enough, he's got one of the most dangerous batches. We checked everything else. We got the autopsy. His face is caked in blood. It's obvious the guy just was grossly hemorrhaging. The lungs are full. We show all the images, and we said, listen, I testify in Congress, Sean. We've got 5 to 15 years to worry about people after the last shot. This guy was clearly in the window where the vaccine is the proximate cause of death.
When you say 5 to 10 years, even after the first shot or after the ninth shot or wherever we're at today?
5 to 15 years after the last shot. And that's what I've testified to.
So 5 to 15 years after the last shot we give?
Anything that happens in that time period is fair game to consider the vaccine caused it.
You know, I just scrolled back through, and I was thinking, you know, the first time I ever had you on, Peter, was episode 195. That was August 18th, 2021. So it hasn't been quite full 3 years. But I was thinking, you know, you, sir, how has this changed you? Like, you know, I think of where I sit and the conversations I've had over the course since then. And I don't know how you always amaze me when you come on here and can just rattle off study after study after study. It has been the same way since day one. And so you're reading all this material, you're seeing all this stuff, you're seeing all this heartache as people just, oh yeah, it's totally normal, totally normal, totally normal. At some point, this had to have really, I don't know, changed your view on the world, people, I don't know. I'm just curious, because it's been almost 3 years since I initially talked to you back then when we were like, you know what, people are getting sick. We got, you know, it's the Super Bowl. We gotta get out there. We got these guys like me, they gotta get out there. We gotta do this. And now I hear you and I'm like, this is insane. And you've been living it now for 3 years.
We're grappling with a mind-blowing reality. This is a mind-blowing reality. We're actually in our fourth year now. I mean, this is absolutely astounding. Everything from, I remember we commented on the Super Bowl. That was the Super Bowl. I think Tom Brady led the Bucks, and they let like a few vaccinated people into the stadium. I was like, listen, why don't you let everybody who's recovered from COVID into the stadium? You know, that's what was safe to do. The vaccine wasn't going to play a role. And this was awful. I mean, I remember the season of COVID, if you remember, the Dallas Stars did pretty good. And they were playing the games up in Canada, I think somewhere near you, in an arena where all the seats were black. They had covers over them or something. Do you remember that when they played the Stanley Cup? Yeah, there was nobody in the
stadium. I interviewed guys in the bubble. That was in Edmonton.
Yeah, the
bubble. Yeah, I interviewed guys in their hotel room while they were in there. Like, I go back and listen, I'm like, oh, man.
And if you remember, it came down to the Stars did pretty good, and they kind of ran out of gas, and they ran into Tampa Bay. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
And Tampa Bay took out Dallas, and it turned out they won the next year, too, I think. Didn't they win 2 in a row?
They won back-to-back years.
Yeah. So, you know, sports was disrupted. None of that was necessary at all. Now, if you remember, too, that COVID year, right now, our big deal is March Madness. I hope you're playing your bracket right now. Do you have a bracket?
You know, I do, but you know what I know about basketball? Zilch. So it's just like I'm throwing a dart at the board. I'm like, yeah, sure.
No, you do your research. Listen, March Madness, like half the country plays. Right now, my bracket is holding up pretty good. I'm in the 92nd percentile.
Well, that's because you do your you probably read 18 papers on it before we all woke up.
But also, I'm a graduate of Baylor University, and we have been the national champion the last few years. Our girls have won a couple of times. But the year that COVID hit, they actually decided not to have March Madness. There was no national champion. And when the college season finished, before they shut it down, Baylor was the number one men's team. So then the following year was the year that we were back, and I think that was 2021. And then the Baylor men won it all. In fact, we won every game by a good margin. Even Charles Barkley had to say, wow, let's not, it's not going to be Duke or North Carolina or Gonzaga. It's going to be the Baylor Bears. And that was a great year for us. Now, with March Madness, it's obvious. I mean, none of that needed to happen. We didn't need to shut down the arenas. It was certainly unnecessary to make the athletes take the vaccine. In fact, it was really terrible because athletes are at risk for this myocarditis and cardiac arrest. And there were scores of cardiac arrests in the European soccer players, and this was awful. DeMar Hamlin, Buffalo Bills, had a cardiac arrest right on the field. Players all over. It was completely unnecessary to watch. Well,
wasn't it assistant coach of Golden State Warriors in the basketball world, right? He died. You're a hockey, right? We talk about every time you come on, we always joke about the Oilers and the Dallas Stars. Yeah. Have you watched the NHL with any I just don't see, you've seen it happen live in football. You're like, listen, we can argue about everything you want. That to me looked you've watched a lot of NFL and you tie it all together with everything we got, all the information. DeMar Hamlin looks pretty much like an injury.
Yeah. Yeah, when you look at
when you watch the NHL, I don't recall, and maybe folks, maybe I'm wrong, maybe I'm missing one, and by all means, text me. But when you watch the NHL, have you been surprised that there hasn't been anything stick out in that way?
Well, I was going to ask you about this. I was well aware. In fact, I looked after years ago Jerry Fisher, who played for the Detroit Red Wings when I lived in Detroit, and Jerry actually had a cardiac arrest on the ice, and I remember Dr. Glazier. One of my colleagues was out there in 2 seconds and defibrillated Jerry and all the things that took place afterwards. He never returned to hockey. The Red Wings took care of him and they did a good job. He's on the scouting team out from Russia. He's from Russia originally. But Jerry had an inherited heart condition called a cardiomyopathy, an apical hypertrophic cardiomyopathy. But the general principle is when someone has a cardiac arrest, they need a defibrillator put in. They have to. This guy, Uwe Chuchu for USC, he had a cardiac arrest. He actually got a defibrillator. He's back playing basketball. DeMar Hamlin didn't. And so if you notice, the Bills had him in pads. He had some light duty in August. I think he played less than half the games. They let him do this lousy fake punt. I don't know if you watched the Bills game in the playoffs, but they had a really lousy fake. And they hiked it to Hamlin. It's like, no, that's not going to get, I'm a Bills fan. Yeah, I lived in Buffalo. So anyhow, I bet the Bills are going to cut him. Myself and Michael Goodkind, a cardiologist, we wrote the Bills cardiologist and we wrote the Buffalo Evening News. We said, listen, we're watching this. This young kid should not return to the field. He should have a defibrillator. Now, what's of interest is we haven't seen NHL players go down in cardiac arrest. And they have these big bursts of adrenaline. They do, what did they do? 2 to 3 minute shifts and they have the big burst. We haven't seen this. So what I don't know, Sean, is were they mandated to take the vaccines? Was the NHL mandated like the other sports teams?
Well, there's only a handful of guys that pop to mind that didn't get it. And Tyler Bertuzzi is one. He played for the Detroit Red Wings at the time. Okay. And now he's playing for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Forgive me, Oiler fans. This is terrible. Was it Archibald? There was one here, and then he was kind of just shuffled away and cut. And so the understanding I had from the NHL was in order to travel, in order to, be across everywhere here in Canada, is you had to be vaccinated. Like I would say that there has to be a, when I stare at the NHL, I'm like, okay, how many people paid to get a fake card so they could just play hockey? How many people actually got the jab? I can't tell you. I have no idea. But certainly up here in Canada, if you're playing hockey for a Canadian team, and heck, look at all the national sports leagues, Peter. I'd love to sit here and say none of them mandated it, but anyone who stood out and said they weren't getting it was harassed like nobody's business. So I would say they either got it or they got a fake. And I don't know how many, that's just my speculation. I have no idea if that's true or not, but in order to travel in Canada, in order to go across the border, in order to leave the country, you had to be vaccinated.
Yeah, well, that's the real unknown variable here is how many people got fake vaccine cards. Sean, did you hear about that doctor in Salt Lake City who gave out a bunch of he gave a bunch of fake injections of saline, and he dumped the real stuff down the sink and gave him a vaccine card. Did you hear about that guy?
I heard a story about this, but I don't know if I've ever actually listened to him talk or where I stumbled across this. Yes. Has he come out and talked about it, Peter, though?
Yeah. He came on our show. John Leake, my partner, interviewed him, and he's an anesthesiologist. He thought it was kind of morally unethical to inject kids with this genetic shot. So he dumped it in the sink. You know what he was charged with?
No.
His charge was disposal of government property.
Really?
Because the vaccines are considered government property. It's like you took a stop sign, you threw it in a dumpster somewhere. So it's not a heavy duty charge.
Now, so what did he get convicted of that?
He's in the process and what have you.
Tied up in courts.
Right. Are you aware of anybody getting busted with a fake vaccine card in Canada with any consequences?
No, not to my knowledge.
I'm not aware in the United States of anybody getting busted. And so my hope is maybe that, you know, that's what the college kids did, because we ultimately, after a while, we didn't hear about any tragedies on college campuses. We did early on. We didn't hear about it in the NHL. But I can tell you, you know who got busted for a fake vaccine card? This was just out in the news. It's pretty serious, too. I think some of the cabinet members or the staff of Bolsonaro, who is the he was the leader down in Brazil. Yeah, it was out. Check it out. Bolsonaro fake vaccine card. I was reading the story. I thought he was getting busted, but I think it was actually his.
It's funny. How the heck do you get busted? Well, I don't know what their vaccine cards were. I know what the vaccine cards here look like. It was this little tiny piece of paper. Like you could have drawn it up with a crayon and it would have been done. You know? Like,
I know. It's just you think about this is you know, such an important such an important program, and you know, you have credit cards that link to other systems. You got library cards that link to other systems, but now you've got the world's most important vaccine program of all times, and it's this lousy handwritten card. You can hardly read it. So here's the story.
Listen, written in crayon, and if you were Canadian and went gotten a vaccine shot in the States, you could come back and say you had it from there too. So you could actually show an American card, well, I got the shot. And they're like, oh, well, I guess. You know, and somebody will argue with me towards the end with the electronic one that was coming in and the vax mandates and everything. Certainly that was starting to change. But you could still get somewhere with this little, you know, cartoon card with a little bit of chicken scratch on it.
Yeah. So here it is. Here's the story. It's up on PBS NewsHour from March 19th. Former Brazilian President Jair Bolsonaro formally accused Tuesday of falsifying his COVID-19 vaccine data, marking the first indictment for the embattled far-right leader. It says federal police indictment released by the Supreme Court alleged Bolsonaro and 16 others inserted false information into a public health database to make it appear as if the then president and his 12-year-old daughter and several others in his circle received the COVID-19 vaccine. So someone did get busted. Now he's out of office right now, but you can't make this up. People were trying to protect themselves. They know the vaccines have led to massive injuries, disabilities, and deaths. And I've called for the vaccines to be removed off the market. Follow Mary Tally Bowden on Twitter. Every day she updates more and more leaders elected and those running for offices in the United States. We should probably do the same in Canada, who are now calling for the vaccines to be moved off the market. And that's what we need. We need this big public call. We're coming towards the end. Just any final questions?
No, I appreciate you doing this, and I ran you over time. He said, can we go for 35 minutes? And I'm like, yeah, I'll have you out of here in 34 and a half. And then he squeezes in one last story, and I'm like, well, that's going to tack it on either way. No, Peter, I appreciate you giving me time, today. We won't let it go another year without having you back on. We'll ask, we'll try and, put a pencil in for a little ways down the road. Either way, thanks for hopping on and doing this, and, look forward to the next time.